that you get into the winning habit. Because once you get into that winning habit, it'll never go away once you have that self-esteem. Tom Brohammer had an excellent suggestion, which we've usually done at seminars. We don't plan precisely what we're going to do at a seminar because we want to tailor it around the needs of the people. So I'd like you to think about it, just maybe you already have. He kind of forewarned you. What are the subjects that if you had a better understanding or thorough understanding of, what are the subjects that you would want explained? If you knew those, you could win. But these are standing in your way, let's say, in your own mind. Certain factors are standing in the way of you and total success. Somebody cry out something. Pace line.
Third fraction. Distance changes.
I beg your pardon?
Distance changes.
Distance changes, okay. Okay, just let me get these down here. Don't write. I think faster than I write. Let me explain what the word Brohammer model means. We have, as a tribute to Tom, anything you model is a Brohammer model. So when we give you a thing about track profile tonight and call it something else, you're modeling it. And when you model it in this methodology, you're making a Brohammer model. It's just a terminology that we've accepted. Fortunately, Tom's here. He can expand on it. What was that other one that I didn't get? Pace line, distance changes, and a model. Oh boy, did you come to the right seminar, because you got the world's foremost expert on that. And you also have the world's foremost iconoclast on that. And you got Michael Bozzolas right in between.
Now, readout interpretation.
Interpretation of readouts. Good.
Bias, track bias.
Bias?
Yeah, anti-bias.
PBS.
Yep, you got the right guy for that.
I
like that term better when you just yelled out third fraction. But the third fraction is the third fraction.
Sure.
Bias, and we'll put a kind of a question mark after bias. We have to know what a bias is, and if there is truly a bias, we have to know what causes a bias. I will tell you what causes it, and then everybody else will argue with me.
APS.
Who? APS?
EPS.
EPS? Oh, yeah, we're going to do that. ESP, please. Yeah, we got a speaker on that. That's going to be on Sunday. We got two men on that. Dan Duran, whose airplane is late, and Dick Schmidt. Second call, 3F relationship. I'm surprised that nobody, does everybody so thoroughly understand turn time that nobody mentions turn time? It's the most important and factor and the most hidden from the public factor there is. Did that come into anybody's mind? Are you so thoroughly conversant with turn time?
He doesn't want to lead you into this. That 2-hour presentation on turn time is just waiting there.
Is that the old turn time or the new turn time?
There's only one turn time. Turn time is the second fraction. The turn time formula in synergism is a formula which is quite simple. It's factor X plus second fraction divided by 2. When we talk about turn time itself, we will... We are going to go through all this. Yes, sir? Yeah, it's here. We put that as under variant. There is only one variant, and it encompasses distance, daily surface variant, the variations between track. It's anything that which the speed that you're looking at or the fractional times you're looking at are subject to variation or to alteration by adjustment caused by any one of those factors. So we'll make sure that we remember track to track as part of that. Variant is a variant is a variant. Gertrude Stein said that years ago. Well, Dick's got some glasses. It is getting colder in here. Anybody disagree now? It's absolutely freezing.
superintendent.
Can I make an announcement?
Yes.
Relative to the air conditioning, they went up on the roof and they discovered that it's air conditioned the heck out of some part of the machinery, which is now totally covered with ice. And they'll have it all set by tomorrow morning. They're going to thaw their air conditioner out. But our option is either to have some of the windows open, and it's very mild outside, so I think if we let the hot air go up, roll up and escape, probably that'll be okay, if it's okay with you folks.
Oh, yes.
Okay, we do have an option. I think they may be able to find us a different room. We'd have to, all truck in and do all that. And that sounded pretty complicated.
If you get really warm, go upstairs and stand next to the frozen air conditioner. That'll cool you.
Take a hug of myself and put it on your shorts, and it'll be chilly right now. That window over there, I missed on the way by, but that one will open. Joey, you might want to take a look and see what I'm saying.
I'm certainly glad you weren't at Baldwin Park. We had a seminar in Baldwin Park at the hotel. Swear to God, it would hold 80 people.
Howard Johnson.
We got 78 people there, and they literally were sitting on each other's laps. But because we were so fascinating, they didn't notice, because they had no preacher keeping telling them how hot they were. Talk, think, cool. Now this is a real good exercise. This is something that'll help your handicapping. If you want to be cool, you can be cool. I'm freezing up here. Change your mindset, for God's sake. Think cool. You've got to be able to endure discomfort in the process of being a successful handicapper. And this is a good exercise. We should really turn the heat up and see if we can cause you. If you could make your mind tell your body it's cool, then you're halfway home to being a successful handicapper. I'm serious about this.
And then no one gets to go to the bathroom all day either, right?
No, this is not S. No, that, we don't have that. But you can be cool. You can make yourself cool. At my age, what's making yourself hot is the problem. And getting somebody to believe it. All right. We'll take every one of these in step.
Did you get tandem?
Right, I'll put tandem down, but I'm sure that not understanding the tandem race is not keeping you from winning. That's a little bonus. That's a little spot play bonus that is applicable only in phase three, incidentally. It's not applicable to you energy user. But I'll write down tandem. I'm going to have a man come up here and give you the shortest presentation that you'll ever get at a seminar. It will not be his only presentation. I look down here and I fail to see one of the most important factors. In fact, the primary important. If you understand this one factor, all these other things fall into line. Somebody got it. The matchup, for God's sake. If you understand the matchup, you understand everything. Bert talked about the you call the race exercise we did, in which everybody who didn't block on it, everybody who tried it, 67% had the win, place, and show horse in their top five of that exercise. At Huey Moll's seminar with a six-horse field, they got it in their top three, 81% of the time. That you call the race exercise is in the next follow-up, which is in the mail right now. How many of you do not take the follow-up? You might want to consider that. I don't try to pitch you to buy anything. I really don't. I could care less if you do or don't, because maybe you don't need anything. But the one thing I think everybody needs is the follow-up. It's a bi-monthly communication between us and you, and it brings you up to date with all the latest things. And it's a heck of an investment. It's $66 a year right now. It's going up to $72. But it's about 68 to 70 pages every other month in which everybody explains all the new things. But I promise you the shortest presentation ever made at a Perkle seminar. I'll ask Jim the Hat Bradshaw to come up here and tell you precisely. How many of you know precisely what a horse race is? How many? Does what a horse race is confuse you? It shouldn't confuse you after this, Jimmy. It won't take long, so listen real fast.
I never said anything fast in my life, but all a horse race And if you try to make more out of it, you're just wasting your time. Bunch of horses get in the gate, and they open that gate, and one of these horses goes out and takes the lead, and all the other horses chase this horse. If he doesn't exert all his energy in the early stages of the race, he wins the race. If he exerts all of his energy, then one of the other horses win the race. That's a horse race.
Folks, that's all it is. Even Brohammer will admit that. We'll just talk louder, Dick. Creature comforts. Don't. Speaking of creature comforts, let me give you one don't. Let me give you a rule. Never drink booze when you're handicapping or betting. Now, I'm a world-class drinker, so I'm not preaching temperance. But when I see one of our people, even with one beer at the track, I frown. I don't think that person's going to make it. You cannot mix alcoholic beverages with handicapping and or betting. You're going to screw up one way or the other. The very fact that you need to have a beer in your hand, even if it's only one, the very fact that you've got a crutch to help you, it's very destructive. I know a lot of people do drink a little bit when they're handicapping. If you're a winner, you can get dead drunk. I don't care. If you're winning 75%, crawl to the track. But if you're a loser and I see you drinking, I'm going to say, unless you're out for a good time, but if you're really trying to win and you drink anything at the track or at the off track or before you go to the track or any time during the handicapping or betting process, you're kidding yourself. But I'll tell you what, after I win my 100% that day, I'll take you out and buy all the booze you can handle.
I have never seen a good handicapper winning player drinking at the racetrack. Not one. Day to day, day after day. Tom knows all I've seen some of them play.
I will absolutely guarantee you. Did you guys write these down? They'll be in my front of my book here. I'll absolutely guarantee you that each one of these subjects will be addressed. Now I'd like you to turn. We're going to do ESP, PBS. Nobody mentioned the pluses and the O's. It's probably as important as anything. How many of you do your pluses and your O's? Did you find that makes pace line selection a lot easier? It sure does, if you use them right. But we're going to give you some reminders on pluses and O's, things to look for. Some people do the pluses and the O's and say, well, I did it because you said to do it, but I didn't know what the hell I was doing it for. Well, I would suggest that you never take a pace line off of anything but a plus or a plus within an O race to begin with. And I'd suggest that after you write them down, you look to the left of your pluses and O's, and you determine what kind of a second haul a horse can run when he gets a plus or a plus within an O, and what kind of a second call he runs against when he gets a zero. Then look to your right and see at what class level he earns his pluses and at what class levels he earns the O's. Yes, sir. Oh, you're just waving to... Somebody didn't get their manuals. I'd like you to turn and I'd like you to do a little something for me here. If you, those who have computers, I'd like you to turn to page 18. Whether you all get one. Yeah, well, I wrote it on yours. All this blank space on the tape, you still got to pay $60.
Give me something here that...
Yeah.
Jimmy reminded me of something here that all these things you've asked about really add up to one big question. How do you get the true contenders in a race?
So really what you're saying, is it not, is how do I get the contenders? And the roadblocks in some of your minds to contenders are pace line, distance change factors, and track to track and daily variant and what have you. We fortunately have, for phase three at least, for velocity, we have probably, well, not probably, the best variant maker in the United States. To the degree that the variant is important in a race, this man has nailed it down how to do it, and he'll show you. And we'll also show you in an exercise we're going to do something new that's come out. But you have Tom Brohammer for that. But have you, everybody got your manual now? Look at page 18, please. This is an article just came out by Andy Byer interviewing Tom Brohammer. I'm going to have Tom come up next and elucidate on his true statements to Byer, not what Byer recorded here. But I'd like you to put this race through a computer, anyone who's got it, phase three. But look at horse A. Now, you can't put in 22 and 2 and 23 and 2 into your computer. You have to put in, it says first call. So what's the first call? Okay, what's the second call? 45-4. The horse B, what is his second call? Okay, horse C, what's his second call? Oh, you're doing good. What's D's second call? Well, 46 and 2 is right. But, I mean, if you got a little off there, it won't hurt. You can refigure. But how many of you could have done that 6 months ago? I mean, the new people. Of the new people, how many could have done it 6 months ago? Of the old people, how many could have done it 2 years ago? 3 years ago? You've been doing it all your life, haven't you? Well, we do have some people who saw pace long before this. But most of you couldn't have done that. Most of you could never get that second quarter, which is turn time. Most of the public whose money you're winning out there can't get turn time. There's no way they can figure it out. You can tell them till you're blue in the face that there's a difference between the second fraction and the second call, and they'll just look at you like there's something wrong with you. It took me 4 hours once at a seminar in New Orleans to teach those people that. Wish you're out there drinking a lot of that Sazerac and eating oysters, so they don't have much time to figure that. But that is the most important. This article is very important because it, although I don't agree with Andy Byer calling me an ivory-covered theorist, whatever.
Ivy-covered.
Ivy-covered. What it does point out is that even Andy Byer, for all his magnificent contributions to horse racing, can recognize somebody who knows things that he doesn't in Tom Brohammer. So I'd like Tom to make us his first short presentation here, elucidate on this article and what the meaning, the true meaning of this race is in his terms, rather than Andy's arbitrary impositions. Tom?
Can we go there?
Yeah, oh please. Unless you'd rather sit there. I mean, you're a hardback author. You can do anything you want.
That's really funny.
Working with this guy, you really learn the meaning of the word humility. This was interesting. First of all, part of this is going to appear on the jacket of the book, so it's really good that it appeared. I'm really grateful for that. Andy Byer is just one hell of a nice guy. I don't know how many of you have met him, but he really is. And he has never said, I keep telling Howard, he has nothing but the highest regard for Howard. And I don't really think he meant to call him an ivory tower theorist. I think what he was really aiming at here are the thoroughgraph, the Rogozin sheets, things like that. People are making numbers in a closet, kind of, and it's not aimed at Howard Sartin. He did say his writings are a little esoteric, but I think he read the Yellow Manual. There you go. He sat with us for a few days at Hollywood Park, and he was playing very well, incidentally. He did very well at Hollywood Park, but I had several winners during that period that had nothing to do with final time numbers, absolutely nothing. And, of course, he makes final time numbers, judges trip notes, so he really got interested in what we were doing. And basically, the horses that were winning that I was playing were horses that were the turn time numbers were the dominant figures. Horses that were able to run early and either put away the other early horses and draw out on a turn, or to sit behind them and then overtake the early horses when they're exhausted. I personally think turn time is one of the most valuable things we have, just raw turn time, in as much as the ability to analyze the way a race sets up. It's what happens in that 1,320 feet that's run mostly around a turn that either guts front runners or sets it up for the presser types or makes the decision for the front runner, the speed of the speed type horse. Now, the example that you look at, I don't know whether you've read the article or not, but as you read it, it's a little bit out of context, and I think that's why Howard's giving me a moment of rebuttal here in defense of all of us. And as we talked about the horses that I had been playing, I mentioned that the turn time was the key factor, especially that particular week at Hollywood Park. And so we got interested in turn time, and I explained to him that it was a velocity around the turn, and the example that I chose for him is this example. But what's missing is that the designations of each of these runners were early, extremely early, extremely early, presser type, and then deep closer. And then when we put the fractions down for the two need-to-lead types, I put down 22-2, 23-2, which meant that for 2,640 feet of this race, those two are going to go head-to-head. The horse that's going to set behind that is horse C in 22 and 4, and then by virtue of the turn time velocity, the 57, I think he puts it down here, 57-40 feet per second on the turn, now has, as the two front runners are beginning to stop, and since both of them are designated early pace type and not early pace pressers, that duel should end that relationship between those two. The presser, on the other hand, with the 57-40 now has the momentum, and when these two stop, when they hit that quarter pole and begin to move into the stretch, this is the horse with the momentum, and this is a horse that will be drawing away from these two, just kind of looking for that last horse, the horse D, as to whether or not he can get into the race. And that was the context of this example. Well, when it came out, as you read it, it just says horse C is going to be the cinch. Well, of course, horse C would be a pretty solid play here, but not if horse A happens to be a presser type as well as an early pace type. So just when you look at it, try to keep in mind that horse A has to be an early pace only type in this particular matchup, or he's not as vulnerable as it would appear in the article. But he was quite impressed with the SART methodology. He was quite impressed with some of the movers that we talked about, meaning by movers, I'm talking about the Perco Charter member people, and their commitment to all of this in terms of follow-up. Because that's exactly, I mean, we said that this is not cheap for you, and yet Howard Sarton, by virtue of bringing all of us here, paying the airfare and all the rest of us, not paying salary, mind you, not that we're asking for that, he's lucky to break even on these things. And none of us are being paid for this.
Next tape, please.